Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you.
You didn't say Georgia.
We ain't got a game day out of you yet, too.
You didn't say Georgia.
Well, okay. Well.
That's okay. That's
all right. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
As I said afterwards before, too, we still ain't got a game day out of you, Mr. Crenshaw.
Not yet. There are some games, but, I mean, tomorrow's a big game day. But we got game day today, too.
Sam and
we
Greg.
Got basketball.
We have to acknowledge our producer again. We have the best
yes.
producer here.
Doing, oh, my
I mean,
goodness.
Keeping us in check and giving us things that we don't normally get, even when I'm producing.
And she did give us a little bit of a, she did a little bit of a skunk, I won't say a skunk eye, but she cringed a little bit in our last segment when we talked about hunting rabbits.
No, that was because I didn't cue her properly for
no,
the sound.
No, she don't like killing
well,
rabbits.
No, I'm not a big fan of it either, but I understand. It's legal, and I know there are people who would love it, and we're not jamming it down anybody's throat. We're just talking about it.
Yeah, she's not a big fan of that. So I, you know,
did she make that official? Is that official, Wendy? Not. Oh, I didn't know that. She literally has a. Pet bugs at home. Wow. Let's move on.
Yes, move on quickly, shall we? tomorrow, of course, is a big day for football. Championship weekend, and we're going to get in that big time the next hour. But, of course, there is college basketball that is going on this weekend. Our teams from the area are busy and competing today. Georgia Tech is home, as we mentioned earlier. The Hawks are home against Detroit tonight. Also, Georgia Tech is home against the defending national champions, Virginia, at 11-5. Tech at 8-9. They had one really slip away from them this week against Notre Dame. They had a chance to win that game, didn't get it. 8 o'clock, the game is taking place over at McCamus. Georgia is on the road at 11-5. The Bulldogs will play in Starkville at the Hump against Mississippi State at 8:30.
Stop. You can't just go over that real quick. Why is it called that?
Humphrey Coliseum.
Thank you.
It's known as the Hump. They'll be playing there in wonderful Stark Vegas tonight at 8:30.
Did you say Stark Vegas?
Stark Vegas.
Okay.
Don't you want to go? Next, Cowbells, anybody? Georgia State is on the road playing at Troy. Georgia State at 13-6 playing in Troy, Alabama, 3 o'clock start there. Georgia Southern, 12-7. They are this season. They're playing in South Alabama, down at Mobile at 4 o'clock. Mercer is in Birmingham against Samford at 3, and Kennesaw State is playing with New Jersey at the NJIT. That game is a 4 o'clock start. Now, Greg, this week was a big week because we know what's coming up in April here in Atlanta.
A lot of folks may have forgotten, so why don't you remind them?
April 3rd through 6th, here in Atlanta, March Madness.
Dun, da, da, da.
The Final
Four.
Like
should have been some music right there, but we don't
the
have
Final
it.
Four will be here, and there's going to be so much to see and do. You thought there was a lot happening during Super Bowl week last year. Get ready to do it all over again.
Dude, can I tell you something? And we weren't working together. In fact, this place didn't exist then, but the last time the Final Four was here was 07.
Okay.
I was a center court host.
You were?
I was. I was the center court host for a number of events that took place. Don't ask me how I fell into that.
How'd you
that.
Get that?
I had actually auditioned for it.
You go from that to being on a commercial during March
no,
Madness.
No, I did. I had auditioned for it.
But I'm just saying, you go from that to what we saw last year during March Madness.
Well, guess what?
You're on every day.
Guess what? Tune it up again, because on Tuesday I shot another one.
Really?
I couldn't be more blessed. This has been a good week.
Very
this
good.
Really I was wondering how 2020 was going to fare compared to last year, but I've been blessed. And I told you, Tuesday I got not only do that, but we shot two commercials. And I'm not going to tell you what they are. Actually, I don't even know how they're going to be put together. But one of the commercials featured Candace Parker.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's why you got that smile on your face.
Boy, oh boy. No, she and again, she was all business, but that's what's coming up.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah,
we're going to see you doing March Madness once again. We'll be seeing you.
But this thing was spread out when you talk about events going on. If they're going to do anything similar – the last time, when I would imagine it'd probably be twice as big, they had took over the whole World Congress Center.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's going to be the Fan Fest.
And then now then was the dome, right? Yeah. So there was only so much that was being done there. Now you have the backyard around Mercedes-Benz Stadium. That's events are going to be going on out there. You know, it would be a good idea to have this person out there for that. I realize it's college, but man, if Cube could be out there with some kind of 3-on-3 going on outside, and to promote his upcoming season for 3-on-3 basketball.
NCAA ain't going to do that.
I know they ain't, but I'm saying it'd be kind of a good idea. Well, outside.
It's all there.
But it ain't NBA. It's not going to NBA. It's not going to that level. It's just something completely different.
Yeah, the NCAA.
Let me ask you a question. How many guys that you know, isn't that a pathway for some guys? Because we think of the 3-on-3 tournaments as retired players. What about the guys that are playing college ball that can't make it to the NBA? That may be an outlet for them.
Maybe, but
D-League. You're not getting one of those two.
We got G-League, and then G-League. A lot of guys are opting to go to Europe instead of college right now.
And
we
there's
have more
some
guys
that fall through
that.
The cracks and don't have those options.
Well,
I'm just saying that'd be a way Cube to talk to them. But anyway, you were saying.
Of course, there was a press conference this week, and Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms and a number of others, Dan Corso, Atlanta Sports Council, and we're mentioning all the things that are going to take place. A lot of the things are going to be free, which I think is great. A lot of the things that people don't have because you have a very difficult time getting tickets to the two semifinal games and the championship game. On Friday, the practice sessions for all four teams will be free.
There you go.
And after that, there will be an all-star game that will also be free.
What about
also during that weekend at State Farm Arena, you'll have the Division II and Division III championship games that will be free. The one thing that we'll have a charge for will be the Fan Fest, Georgia World Congress Center, which will just be filled with things to do, players to meet, all that type of thing will be going on. And outside, concerts. Last time the Final Four was here, we introduced something with our Final Four. We had an outdoor concert in Centennial Olympic Park.
Right.
It has been done in other places since then. We're coming back here, and I think Taylor Swift, I think, is one of the headlining acts already signed to perform for the concert, which will be free. So there's a lot of stuff that you can – I'm just saying there's a lot of stuff because –
Taylor Smith putting on a concert ain't charging nobody?
Well, somebody's paying.
I was about to say.
You know what I mean. But, I mean, those are the things that will be in Centennial Olympic Park. There will be things all around the city. They'll also be doing things that will impact – they have a lasting impact. They're going to be doing things. They're going to dedicate a new basketball court, I think, at John A. White Park Cascade. They also plan to have a third-grade reading challenge for third graders to read.
Why third? Why just third?
Third grade is a crucial grade when it comes to reading. You kids who like to read, I think that's an area they've found and established that third grade is a place where kids, if they enjoy reading, they'll really read a lot. If they'll read, they'll start reading just because they have to.
And if they start to slack off, that's usually the year.
They think that
get into sports and
well,
other
things.
Well, not
just get into sports, but just.
Well, they do. They get diverted.
Don't like reading. You hope if they get into sports, they're going to keep reading because they can't get in college if they ain't got the grade.
I understand that. People who you can see paid more attention to what was going on outdoors instead of what was going on indoors.
Well, that too. But
I'm just wondering if that's the year that they figure that's when the cutoff is.
No, I mean, I think that comes a little bit later. There is a cutoff now, but I think that happens a little bit later on when that happens. I think that's – are you talking about middle school? When that type of thing.
I don't know. I'd never heard that stat before. Never heard that before. We're in third grade. Why third grade?
Third grade is a crucial grade for reading.
Okay.
You know.
I mean, I believe you.
And that's the thing. If you fall behind, I think that's them putting the show on the what the floor is going to look like right there.
That's TV, man. People can't see
okay,
that.
Okay. Well, that's just the idea.
On the screen.
that looks like what's going to happen. Also, some football news this week out of Georgia Tech and Georgia State. Georgia Tech announced that they're going to have a two-game series with Alabama in 2030 and 2031. And Nick Saban is still coaching. My first game, he'll be something like 78. Well,
according to you, Dabble Sweeney will be coaching.
That's what I'm saying. They'll be playing
against.
He ain't
going to be there.
Georgia Tech in 2030 will take on Alabama and coach Dabble Sweeney. Write it down. You heard it here.
Can we take a second? And you got all the local stuff out the way?
No, but no,
oh, go done. Ahead. Go ahead.
They're going to play. They're going to play here in 2030. They're going to play in Tuscaloosa in 2031. But on 2024 is the thing that people have been buzzed about around the city. Georgia Tech and Georgia State are going to meet in football in 2024, and then in 2026 they're going to play at Pete's Place.
They better do some upgrades to that joint.
What,
Pete's by then. Place? Yeah, by then.
They got a lot of upgrades.
That's all I'm saying. Long as they continue doing it.
You haven't been in it.
Okay, I want to ask you a question real quick, because we haven't had any chance to talk about the national championship and your thoughts on what happened, how it played out.
LSU won.
Oh, Thank you for the update.
First half of that game was scintillating. I'm breaking a sweat, and I'm just sitting there watching it. Them dudes were going back and forth, up and down the field.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how can they keep this up? It was fantastic. People on social media, I was texting a couple of friends, and man, this is incredible. I'm loving this game. You know, and LSU took over in the second half and won it. So the first half of that game was like unbelievable. But you wondered if Clemson was going to be able to keep up and maintain what they're doing. And we finally found that Trevor Lawrence is human after all.
Yeah, he is.
But it sets the stage for a tremendous comeback for him and Clemson.
Yeah, because next, he's coming back. Joe Burrow isn't. Yeah. And Dabo has got a chip on his shoulder. He'll hear the same. Listen, he heard a lot of noise this year, and he had a national championship in his back pocket.
Yeah.
Next year, he will really have a reason to keep that chip up there. Because we got to the big game, but we didn't win it. And then people are going to say the same thing about the ACC next year if they ascend.
Yeah, but Trevor Lawrence hadn't lost a game since he left Cartersville High School. That's a shock to the system, man. That's a shock to the system.
Listen, coming up, we're going to get into what's going on down under and some very nice things being done by Coco Gauff and some other players for the fires that are going on down in Australia. Just from all around the continent. But up next, I want to talk about the business of sports.
Yeah.
Dave Rumson from the Sports Business Journal going to join us next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Download the radio.com app and take us with you wherever you go.
Just go. Catch up on the latest Atlanta sports, no matter where you are. If Atlanta sports matter to you,
get the radio.com app and never miss a thing.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia. It is Sam Gregg. By the way, we haven't acknowledged our second show back on a Saturday.
How about that?
After all those years. They took us off.
Yep.
Brought in new Coke. Didn't work. Got rid of it. Brought back the classic.
There you go.
That's us.
It's our second weekend back. Great. And to tell you what, a lot of stuff happened in town this week. One of the things was it made it official that the signs at SunTrust Park will be coming down.
I was shooting that thing this past week, Geico, and people on set were talking about it. Like,
yes.
You hear what happened at the Braves? And I'm like, well, they got a trade or something? We got Mike Trout?
We're now Truist.
I beg your pardon?
We're now Truist Park.
Isn't that the guy who owns Chick-fil-A?
No,
gone.
That's good.
Okay, that's true.
That's
sorry.
Very bad. You know, let's talk with somebody who talks about the business side of sports all the time. Joining us now on the WaitForIt.com hotline, friend of the show, David Rumsey from the Sports Business Journal, Sports Business Daily. Good morning, David.
Morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing? You're making me hungry talking about Chick-fil-A here.
Look, this thing happened here in Atlanta, and it happens around the country. We see name changes at different facilities. But this one, in just 3 years, and just something that I think is kind of – I'm not crazy about the name, but they've done it anyway. How does this impact things? And how has it impacted other places? And what the impact going to be around here?
Right. So obviously, I think people have probably read that the Braves and Truist are going to be taking down 150 some SunTrust Park related signs around the ballpark and replacing them with Truist, and it's going to be that different purple and white logo that they unveiled this week. So quite a change, from that orangish color that everybody has grown used to for in the 3 years at that park. But that's something that, the Braves are going to deal with, that the banker is going to deal with as far as cost and getting it done. And there could still be some remnants of SunTrust, come early in the season. I'm not sure exactly what their timeline is. But, it shouldn't affect the fans too much. And, we'll just see. It is what it is. I think it's something that the Braves probably didn't know about when they signed the naming rights deal with SunTrust, that they would be – obviously, banks merge all the time, so there's that possibility. But I don't imagine that the Braves went into it knowing that they were going to unveil this beautiful new ballpark and have all the fans come and then, change the name 3 years later.
Dave, listen, I know other people have chewed on this before. I don't know where they came up with the name because you talk – and for those folks who don't know, the collaboration was between SunTrust and BB&T.
Right.
How do you get Truist out of that?
Yeah, you know, your guess is as good as mine, because obviously sometimes when these banks merge, you know, one kind of just goes into the other, and, you know, one branding goes away and the dominant branding stays. So, you know, that's kind of what I was expecting, one way or the other, whatever they wanted to do there. And, you know, I guess they decided that this was somehow better. And, you know, I'm not sure where they're coming from. I know some people like the name, don't like the logo, or vice versa. And some people are complaining about there's a, you know, the purple and the white is close to Ally Bank, is also kind of a purplish and white. So an odd branding choice for sure. But, you know, they pay, you know, companies a lot of money to help them out with these things and go for it. So obviously they think they have something going. So we'll see.
Go ahead.
Spend time on thewayforward.com outline of David Rumsey. He is social, by the way. You can follow him on Twitter @_DavidRumsey. One more thing. I don't know when the signs are going to change on the banks around this area or whatnot, but talk about the advantage of having it on that stadium with a very popular and very hot baseball team, and they haven't even changed the signs at the actual banks.
Yeah, that could almost be a little confusing, but certainly a good way to get your brand out there. And, you know, if there is a way to get people to know that you've changed your name and, you know, become a new company, a new bank, certainly being, you know, on everybody's favorite baseball team in Atlanta is definitely one way to do it.
All right, guys, I got another layer on this.
Okay.
So we're talking about the Braves and everything concerning that signage. We have one of the biggest tennis tournaments that happens here regularly. We're getting, in fact, there's going to be a big announcement about that opening night, and I'm talking about the BB&T Classic. Now that changes. That's another thing that's got, you talk about the signage that's being spent retooling, you know, the baseball stadium, now with this, and what does that do for other BB&T events?
Yeah, I think it'll kind of be the same thing. You know, it'll probably merge into some sort of a Truist branding, and it depends on the contracts for these tournaments and, you know, the naming rights deals. You know, on the Braves side, it was a 25-year naming rights agreement with SunTrust. So when, you know, BB&T and SunTrust merged, they didn't really have any choice but to continue that for the next, you know, 22 years at this point. So it'll depend on the contracts of other events, and they could alter the names a little bit. Obviously, with the Braves, it was SunTrust Park, and they just went with Truist Park. So, you know, they had the big ceremony to unveil it, and it's kind of like, okay, well, that's probably what everybody thought you were going to do, unless you're going to change the name of, you know, to, you know, Truist Field or Truist Stadium or something like that. So, you know, these tournaments or anything else where the naming rights comes into play, they can certainly mess around with their name and that branding. But, you know, I would certainly expect, you know, Truist to take over whatever existing naming rights deals there are and, you know, just continue those until the end of those deals.
Yeah, all right. And I would say that, David, you probably haven't seen the setup of where we do the tennis tournament. It's at Atlantic Station, which is in-town in a retail residential area. And the big money shot is the camera pulls back and there's a big BB&T building with the BB&T logo on it that they always get a shot up.
Oops.
So I'm sure they're going to have Truist on that building probably. And this tournament won't take place until sometime during, it will takes place in July. Plenty of time for them to put that signage up there and time for them to pull that camera shot back and see that purple Truist sign.
Hey, man, listen, we realize you don't have any hard numbers right now, but just as a sports fan this past week, Dave, what was, from a business standpoint, the first thing that ran through your mind and how the effects are going to fall out from this cheating scandal with the Astros?
Yeah, and obviously it's still coming down with, you know, ramifications with the Red Sox, and the MLB is, you know, still conducting that investigation. And I think, you know, my first impression was, man, we don't ever talk about baseball this much on a national scale for a week-long period, you know, in the middle of the offseason. So, you know, in a weird, strange way, it was, you know, kind of a bright spot for the league. There's something to talk about, and obviously you don't want them to be talking about people stripping World Series titles or calls for that at least, and, you know, three managers banned. You know, when have there ever been three openings for, you know, baseball skippers in the middle of January? So, yeah, I think, you know, right now we'll see what kind of momentum it takes it into spring training. But, you know, it's going to be an awkward season, certainly for the Astros and potentially the Red Sox and even the Mets with finding new managers and dealing with all the implications from that. But I'm not necessarily sure there will be a negative business impact from a fan perspective. You know, it could be could even be interesting. You know, fans wanting to tune in and, you know, see how it all plays out with these teams that were affected by it.
But there's no language in place right now. If I'm an advertiser in Houston and I've got my name up on the outfield wall or wherever around that team, and they go and get caught because the suspension, forget about the firings, the suspensions happened because Major League Baseball found them cheating. So that's not in dispute. But from a business standpoint, you know, like you can get fired for cause. Is there anything in the language that helps out advertisers down there to say, listen, we want a better price or we're going to pull our, you know, whatever from you guys because you have been accused of, it's been proven that you guys cheated?
Yeah, you know, you would have to look and it would depend on every specific contract as opposed to whether they could get out from that deal or not. And, you know, a lot of times, whether it's a team or a player, you know, a big company that, you know, that has a lot of money nationally will kind of just eat the deal and, you know, sever ties with, you know, said controversial player or team or whatever. You see that whether it's, you know, like a Tiger Woods controversy for a big one, you know, stuff like that, sponsors will go away from that player. And I think on, you know, those local deals, a lot of times are, you know, yearly. So it could even be that, you know, a lot of local sponsors who might have something in, you know, the outfield or on a scoreboard or, you know, with the Astros radio or TV station, they could, you know, probably just pull out of this deal this year or next year. And, you know, those teams are, you know, they want to keep everybody happy. So if an advertiser came to them and said, hey, we really don't want to do this year, you know, we just feel like it's not a good look with everything that's happened. You know, the teams are going to understand, especially for those smaller deals, and they're not going to want to have a bad name. So I definitely think there's some work around, and I haven't seen too much fallout from, you know, sponsors yet wanting to pull out, but that certainly could be in the discussion, you know, and especially if anything else comes out. And right now we're not saying the buzzer stuff has happened, but if more came from that, you know, I think that could be something to look out for.
I'm about to finish up with David Rumsey here quickly before I let you go, David. Talk about the fact that baseball acted swiftly and why this was important to do it for the business of baseball. Authenticity, obviously, they want to try to preserve that with the fans.
Yeah, I think this comes from MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred. You know, once the report came out in November, you know, they acted quickly, and I think they wanted to figure it out and, you know, make a statement that this was not okay because obviously technology is only going to get better and better, and now they're thinking about fighting technology with technology, you know, whatever that means to, you know, stop these teams from, you know, doing stuff like the Astros and potentially Red Sox did, Alex Cora, and, you know, all those guys. I think he wanted to make a statement that, you know, we're not going to tolerate it. So that's why those, you know, harsh suspensions came down for A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow with the Astros and probably something even harsher for Alex Cora, even though he's already been dismissed from the Red Sox. And it was interesting to me that no players were implicated. I understand where he's coming from that. Just, you know, you don't want to implicate the players. You want to talk about the team culture, but I know a lot of people are kind of upset that, you know, none of the players are facing any discipline when they were really the ones enacting
on
it.
We'll get into that. Dave Rumsen, Sports Business Journal and Sports Business Daily, joining us this morning, talking to business and sports. Thanks, man.
Thank you so much, guys. Have a great one.
All right,
too. Thanks a lot.
We are going down under next. Australian Open. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
A special shout-out to
Marietta. What's going on?
Nice.
Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. Make sure you tune in every Friday at 4:40 as you'll get a chance to hear Hawks CEO Steve Koonin as he joins the show right here with Dukes and Bell.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Sam and Greg. Do you think if I mentioned, just said the name out loud, Willie O'Ree, people would know who I'm talking about?
Do you know who I'm talking about? Obviously.
Okay, just making sure.
Mm-hmm.
A head shake. Wendy, do you know who I'm talking about? Wendy has no idea, and that's okay.
Okay, no.
We should tell everybody who he is, and I bring it up for a significant reason.
Okay, that reason being?
1958, Willie O'Ree, first black NHL player,
mm-hmm.
played in his first game. Boston beat Montreal 3-0, but this was the anniversary of it. So there
today.
You go.
Yeah. Okay.
And Yorkie had nothing to do with it. Speaking of Boston.
I had a chance to meet him. He's a fantastic ambassador for the game. And as he travels around the country, he's been here to Atlanta a number of times, so it's great. So
we always talk about Jackie Robinson, but this guy was it for the NHL. Willie O'Ree.
Mm-hmm.
So remember that name. Go look him up.
he is still with us, and he's, you know, very visible and very active with the league. Hey, this is this time of year. I know tomorrow is the AFC Championship game and the NFC Championship game. But when the football is done, something that will happen tomorrow evening that will be just as exciting to me. Just as exciting.
Oh, really? Sunday night for you, too?
Hey, man, no. It's just
Sunday
night.
You're talking about something else. Okay.
Just as exciting.
Okay.
The start of the Australian Open. First tennis major of the new year.
And get your nap in.
And you know what I mean? Get ready because you're going to be staying up late.
Yeah.
You will stand up late because that real feature match you're going to want to start is going to start about 3 a.m.
Yeah.
You know, some of them. But not tomorrow night. We got some good start times for some of the matches. And, yes, folks, in case you wondered about it, yes, there will be a replay of the match we saw at Wimbledon last summer as Venus Williams plays Coco Gauff in the opening round. And is set for a start of around 11:30 tomorrow night. So, I mean, if you want to take your little nap in between the end of the football game and wake up and see this around 11:30 tomorrow night, our time is when that match is due to start at the Australian Open. It's going to be a lot of talk about this tournament because of the conditions, the brush fires that are going there. And
That's nothing really. That's an actual thing. They're wondering how close it's going to get to Melbourne.
That's the thing. And if you see some of the pictures, you see a little hazy out in the distance. So, I mean, it's something obviously that the players can smell, people can smell, and people are wondering is already summertime there. It's already hot. Right. It's going to be in the upper 80s and 90 degrees. Now you're going to have this film of smoke in the air and just the condition of the players having to breathe that for the next couple of weeks. So a number of players have been very outspoken about it. Novak Djokovic, Roger Federer have been very outspoken about the safety factor of being able to play. There were some thoughts about maybe not playing. I know John McEnroe and
they were wondering when they were going to take off for. But here's the crazy thing, and I'd like to get the numbers if there are any that could actually compare the two. But listen, we had an Olympics in Beijing, China, and you know about the air quality over there.
Yeah.
I mean, they did many stories about folks just regularly have to walk around with these masks on. And I don't know what they did during those 2 weeks. Did they get some big fan someplace to put it on a great wall? I don't even know if it's close by, but whatever. And try to blow that pollution out? You can't get rid of that.
They've talked about the stadium courts being able to turn up their air conditioning to try to draw it out if it becomes a factor to that point. But those are the three stadium courts.
Exactly.
All the matches are
all
not
the other ones are going to be out. Yeah,
not
exactly.
Not going to take place in the stadium court. Now, Coco Gauff is going, of course, she's 15 years old. She doesn't turn 16 until the spring. She has to play more tournaments. But she is doing something. A lot of the players, I think Serena Williams surrendered her entire winnings check from winning the tournament at Auckland a week ago. She donated that all
it's
to
like 48 relief. Grand, something like that.
She donated all of that. Coco Gauff has pledged $200 for every ace for every tournament that she plays. She played in that tournament at Serena. She's coming up playing in the Australian Open. She says she thinks she's hit about 15 aces so far, and her shoe company, New Balance, will match what she donates. So those are all funds that she's going to donate to the relief of the brush fires there in Australia. Ashleigh Barty, in case you're wondering, is the women's number one seed, Australian. She is the top seed going into this tournament. Naomi Osaka is the number three seed. Serena Williams is the 8th seed going into this tournament. Nadal, of course, is number one for the men, followed by Djokovic and Federer is third. And Fed is due to play his match tomorrow night around 11 o'clock our time. Local folks, John Isner is the 19th seed for this tournament. Christopher Eubanks, young man out of Georgia Tech, has played the way through the qualifying round. He is in the main draw. He will play Tuesday there, as will a part-time Atlanta resident, Taylor Townsend, who is in the women's draw for this tournament. So we got some local folks to keep an eye on as they get set to play this
tournament. A couple things from what you just said. One was the money that Serena donated from her last tournament. And again, her first win in 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Of any tournament, not just
that's what I'm saying. Let's take a second and think about this for a minute. Serena Williams winning winning a tennis tournament, present day on the tour, and the purse was only $48,000.
Well, because this is a
I was just saying, think about it.
It's a tune-up.
Just think about it. That the money that women talk about in the various sports compared to what the men get,
yeah,
it's equal for the majors. I get that
for the majors now, the
but
majors
not for money. This. And she didn't get any appearance fee. Because there's
we don't know that.
I'm just saying. I'm just
that.
Surprised at the amount.
We don't know that she didn't get an appearance fee. Now.
We don't. But we I'm don't just saying, that. When that stuck with me when you said that.
Yeah.
The other thing is, before we move too far into 2020, can we acknowledge, and listen, Osaka has been taking, Naomi's been getting a lot from her past season and her play. She's been criticized.
Coach change.
I mean, really, kind of it's been a bad year. But let's take a second, and for those who don't remember, YouTube last year's, was it Wimbledon? U.S. Open, and see probably the greatest sporting moment of 2019. For those of you who don't remember, you're not tennis fans, it came down to the finals. It was Coco and Naomi Osaka, and what happened was, listen, she was the shooting star, Coco Gauff, throughout, but then she ran into the number one player in the world. She got beat, and emotions, she became overcome with emotions during the post-game interview.
Yeah.
On the court, in front of everybody, parents and all the people who were rooting so hard for her, and she just broke down. And Naomi came over. Now, those interviews are one-on-one. That's your time to shine. It's your time. And a lot of times, and a lot of people.
And she stood there with her.
Get yourself some sponsors, you know, the way you carry yourself.
Right.
And Osaka, without even missing a beat, came over, hugged her, and listen, let's do this together.
Yeah.
And that was just, when we talk about, you know, the pettiness and the Antonio Brown stuff and all the other things that make you turn your lip up throughout the course of the sports year, this moment was one of them. That was my number two moment of the year, by the way.
Okay.
How about you?
Yeah, that was a huge moment.
That was my number two. Tiger number one, that was number two.
That was. You mentioned that. Also want to shout out to some people who are in our city for sports. The USTA Southern Section is having their meeting in town over in the perimeter area. So shout out to all the people who really promote the game of sports, teach the game, and volunteer for the game of sports throughout the Southeast. They're in town this week. We'll drop by and say hello to a few of them.
And all that stuff we've been talking about, or the NFL we're going to be talking about, if you want to jump on board, you give us a shout on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.